Turn tonight to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, beginning at verse 1. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And so far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, joy is a fitting subject on which to end a day. It's a fitting subject on which to end an entire year. We rejoice. We have joy. Joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to those who are free in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it surely is a gift. It surely is a working of the Holy Spirit. The kind of joy that is expressed in this psalm is not something that is natural to us. It's not something that we have come up with, and it is not something that we can find in ourselves. And though it is a fitting subject, joy, and you find it throughout all of the Scriptures, in all the different genres of Scripture. It's in the Psalms, perhaps primarily, but you find it in Proverbs, you find it in the Prophets, you find it in the Old Testament, in the earlier books as well, and throughout the New Testament. Some of you might be thinking of Philippians, that letter of joy that Paul writes to the church there. But for some of us, perhaps, joy is not what you would use to summarize this last year. Perhaps, instead for you, you've seen more than sorrow, than joy. Or perhaps to sing a new song is not where your heart is at this point, or what your heart wants to do. Because it's a heavy heart. It's a heart filled with sorrow. It's a heart that has been filled with hardship. But consider this. How often in the Bible and even in church history has a new song come upon God's people out of great sorrow? Think about Miriam's song, for example, a song singing the deliverance that God gave them out of Egypt after all of those years of oppression. Great, great sorrow, heavy sorrow, and here a new song of praise and joy. Or think perhaps of Hannah, praying to the Lord all of those years for a child. And the Lord grants her request. You will have a son and he will be dedicated to the Lord. And she sings a new song. You've taken the poor and you've lifted them up and exalted. You've taken the needy and you've answered their cries. God of great mercy. Think of Paul. All the times he's in prison and his prayers. Or the verses that he writes in 1 Timothy 3, which are like a hymn, summarizing the mystery of godliness in Jesus Christ. Or the Reformation, great sorrow in church history, and out of it so many new songs of joy and of praise. So perhaps you might be able to see that just like the clouds finally broke today and the sun came out, The sun of joy has been shining the whole time, but perhaps just hidden by the clouds of sorrow. And a new song comes upon our hearts and on our lips. And it's like the clouds are blown away by the wind. And joy arises again. True joy, true Christian joy. We find that in our God. We find that in knowing who we are as the children of God, who we are in Jesus Christ, and in doing what it is that we've been made to do, fear God and keep His commandments. That was the joy that Jesus had. Hebrews 12, verse 2, the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Well, Jesus wasn't laughing when He was suffering and when He was dying. Joy doesn't always look like laughter. It doesn't always look like smiling. But the reason that the writer of Hebrews tells us that, and that Jesus had a true joy, even though suffering and dying, is because He was suffering and He was dying as the Messiah, as exactly who He was, the Son of God, come in the flesh. And because He was doing the very thing that God sent Him to do, His purpose on this earth, to complete our salvation through His righteousness and through His perfect sacrifice once for all. That was His joy. We also have joy in the salvation of God. You'll get the first three verses of our psalm, and that's what the psalmist is rejoicing in. The mighty arm, or the holy arm of God, which has worked salvation for him, and the salvation of God that has been made known to us. How can we have this joy? Well, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's worked by grace, but it's a promise given. Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. So we see the marvel of His salvation. There's grace, there's wisdom, there's power in that salvation, of course. There's patience in that salvation. Now think about how long God was with His people before bringing everything to completion in the coming of Jesus Christ. All the hundreds of years that had transpired before that. All of the times where if you didn't know what was going on in the rest of the Bible and you read those stories about Noah and the flood or Abraham and his childlessness or Jacob and Esau and their fighting together. Or Israel and all of the things that they did to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam and all of their rebellions, you'd think this is all a lost cause. But not with God. He planned all of it. He knows all of these things. His wisdom is unsearchable. We should marvel at that aspect of His salvation. Our life comes by Christ's death, our healing by His stripes, our joy by His sorrows, our exaltation by His humiliation. By His descension into our misery, He conquers. And by shedding His blood, He gains victory. It's all backwards to human thinking. God saves sinners. Those three words are enough to marvel at the salvation of God. God saves sinners. Holy, sovereign, awesome God comes and He saves sinners who got themselves into this mess. We got ourselves into this mess. And He comes and He rescues us. We marvel at His salvation. We see the power of His salvation as well. The holy arm of God. He's done marvelous things. He's worked salvation. Christ comes and saves us, but not with weapons or earthly powers. Sin, death, hell, Satan, they've all fallen before His infinite power. The idols of man, they're all crushed and destroyed. And Christ accomplishes this, not with a physical power, but a moral power. How does He conquer evil? With goodness and truth and love and righteousness. How does He gain victory? Not by overtaking by force, but by sacrificing His own life and laying it down. And human power cowers in weakness. Christ's power is infinite. We have joy in the faithfulness of His salvation. Verse 3, He remembered His steadfast love. Again, boys and girls, it's not that He's forgotten, but it seems like that to us. It does seem that way. Again, think of all the history of Israel and how long it was before Jesus came. Even Abraham, I mentioned him already, but even Abraham, 100 years old before he had a son. And he tried a couple other options. Maybe Hagar. Is it Eleazar? Is he going to be my heir? Is he the one who's going to take over? Is it going to be through him that you're going to build this huge nation and bless the other nations? And God says, no, those aren't the ways I'm going to do it. Be patient. And then he gives him his own son. But there is waiting. We wait. We're at 2019. Is God ever going to come? Is he coming yet? Is he coming soon? Sometimes you read those instructions of Paul in the New Testament. The Lord is coming soon. That's over 2,000 years ago. Is it yet? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it soon? Has he forgotten? He has not forgotten. The psalmist uses that word just for our own understanding. God is a God of promise. And God is a promise keeper. And because he is a promise keeper, he remembers his steadfast love. And we are never without it. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is joy in God's steadfast love, His faithfulness, His patience, His endurance. And all of this, the psalmist sums up at the end of verse 3 in telling us that even the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He has not hidden this, but revealed it in the Word. How can you have this joy? How can you know the joy of God in His salvation? Be in His Word. Listen to His Word proclaimed. Study His Word. Read His Word. Do you have sorrows? Especially when you have sorrows. Especially those times where you don't feel like doing anything. Leave me alone. The world, leave me alone. I want to rest. I don't want to do anything. Don't neglect the Word of God. You need it. We grow in this joy when we're in the Word of God and we're thinking about what it says, about the glory of God's salvation and the love of God's salvation and the marvel and the power and the faithfulness. And it strengthens us in the joy that we are to have. We're to have joyful praises for God in our singing, verses 4 through 6. And very simply, sing. Sing joyfully, sing cheerfully, sing loudly. In verse 4, it says, break forth. That's the loudly. Into joyous song. Yes, joyfully. And sing praises. There's a cheerfulness to it. So make a joyful noise. It's amazing that God has given us the ability to make such beautiful noises with our voices. And to give knowledge and understanding to people who can make instruments that can reproduce the music that God has put into creation. Music is God's creation. It is not our creation. It's our discovery. But it's His creation. Think about an orchestra and all of the various instruments that go into an orchestra to cover the entire spectrum of musical sounds to produce something that's beautiful, a symphony. The sounds coming together. And it's beautiful and it rings in the ears and it rings in our hearts and it gives us joy. Sing, make a joyful noise to the Lord. We're not all gifted in that. Try your best to harmonize with the people around you. We have very good singers in this church. Learn from them. I dare say I'm a better singer after being here for all of these years. It doesn't mean I'm going to be doing a solo next week, but I think you've made me better. I really do. I really do. And learn these things. Learn how to sing. Learn when you're young. You have opportunities. Learn. Learn how to sing. Learn how to play music. Learn how to use those musical muscles and train them. You will never regret it if you do. You might regret it if you don't. Sing. Be a singing people. Lift your voices in praise. And we give joyful praise to God in our service. Verses 7 through 9. God is praised with joyful, cheerful, loud singing. But that's not the conclusion of worship. It spills over then into our service. Why do we worship on Sunday? Because that is what projects us forward into the week that is before us, to go into the kingdom of Christ and to serve. We're the people of God by grace, and we're servants of the Master. So let's serve. The psalmist uses the imagery of parts of creation, the sea roaring and all that fills it. So even the creatures that are in there. Rivers, they're clapping their hands, and hills are singing for joy. The sea roars, and God is praised because that's what the sea was made to do. The rivers clap their hands because they weave through the land. They meander in their course. They don't swell over their banks unless the Lord wills it. And He's praised in that because the river does what God made it to do. The hills, they stand majestic. They offer protection from the winds. They provide grasses for the animals and the other creatures that live among them. They're good for us as human beings. And they stand there in their majesty, and they don't move, again, unless the Lord wills it. And He's praised because He put those hills there for that purpose. And they're fulfilling the purpose for which they were made. How do we joyfully praise God in our service? It is when we do that for which we have been made. Why did God make you? To glorify Him, to serve Him, to praise Him, to use the gifts that He gave to you in a way that honors and glorifies Him. Bring Him joyful praises in your service, in your happiness. Whether you're playing with your toys, or maybe you're playing some imaginary play, boys and girls, building forts and castles, exploring the woods, exploring the creek bed. Maybe you're playing church, or maybe you're playing farm, or maybe you're playing school. And you're exploring, and you're learning, and you're growing, and you're learning how to play together. You're playing games, and you're involved in other kinds of activities. And as we get older, we continue that too. There's happiness in life. Because we know that God has given us good things. He's given us those opportunities. He's given us good gifts that we can enjoy. Bring joyful and cheer and loud praises to God in your work. Here's a tough one. Are you praising God that you get to go back to school at the end of this week? Students? Teachers? Is that your joy, though? Are you cheerfully giving thanks to God? That's the work that He's called you to do. That's where He's put you right now in life. That's what He wants you to do. That's what He's enabling you to do. It's a joyful thing for you to learn, to have that privilege, to have that opportunity, to be developing the gifts that God has given to you, for you to keep growing. And you're growing now, and yes, sometimes that's hard, and it takes a lot of patience, and it's a little slower than you want, maybe. But you're doing it now, and you're learning now, so that you can keep serving Him for the rest of your life in the way that He wants you to. Is it joyful for you? Are you cheerful? Do you sing loud praises to God because of the work you get to do and you get to go back to it? Thank you, Lord, for this work. Help me to do it in a way that brings honor to Your name. Help me to be satisfied in the work that I'm doing. And may You be glorified. May those around me be served well in the work that I'm doing. Is the work of parenting joyful and a gift and a privilege to you? So much of depression and sorrow is relieved simply by getting up and doing something. God wants us to work. He has equipped us to work. And it's a great joy and a delight to do it. Think of all the noises at your work. What do those noises testify to? Those loud praises. Do they testify to hard work, honesty, purity, loyalty, devotion, humility, thankfulness, cheerfulness, helpfulness, kindness? Let's bring joyful and cheerful and loud praises to God when we're using His gifts. Would you take every gift that God gives to you and commit to God in this way? I will use this gift of God to obey God. And the negative side of that is, I will not use this gift to break any of God's commandments. Would you say that of every gift that God gives to you? Here's just one example. All our digital devices. Phone, tablet, watch, e-reader, laptop, desktop computer, TV, gaming console, virtual reality headset. I think I got them all. All of those. You take that device and say, I will use this to obey God. I will use it as a tool to help me serve the Lord my Master. And to do it in a way that glorifies Him. To do it in a way that obeys His commandments. To do it in a way that really does help me in the purpose for which God has me in this world. And the negative, I will not use those devices to break any of God's commandments. We will not use our devices to slander, to gossip, or to tear down another person. We will not use our devices for pornography or other sexual immorality. We will not use our devices to lie or to cheat. We will not use our devices and steal from our employers by being busy on our devices instead of being busy at work. We will not use our devices to indulge those covetous desires that are right there in the heart. I see that. Now I want that. Now I think I need that, and now I think I deserve that. We will not use our devices to follow the idols of the world, and indeed we will not make our devices idols in themselves. Would we commit to God with every gift in that way? And joyfully and cheerfully and loudly praise. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you will submit to the commandments of God, even in the use of your digital devices, that will loudly proclaim the praises of your God, because you'll stand out. You will be different. And that's part of why it's hard, because everybody else is doing it. Will we say, by the grace of God, not me? Will we say, not us? We're not going to give in to these temptations. We want God to be loudly praised by our service. Joyful, cheerful, loud praise in our conversations. Let it be joyful and cheerful noise. Let our words be pure and true and sincere and kind and encouraging. You ever stand in the back of church and just listen? There's a hum. It's right above all of the conversations that are happening. It's a joyful noise. It's a cheerful noise. And you hear laughter. And you see brothers and sisters interacting. And there's shaking of hands. And there are people who love each other. And they care about each other. All of our conversations. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they were all that way? Let's bring joy and cheer even to those things. And joyful, cheerful, loud praises in prayer. We give thanks to God for His present blessings, and we seek future ones as well. Psalm 90, verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with Your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Joyful, cheerful, loud praises in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. Make us glad all of our days until you come again. And he is coming again. He's coming to judge. And he's going to judge with righteousness. And he's going to judge the nations and the peoples, because so many do not give joyful, cheerful praise to God in any way, but they reject him. He comes to judge in his righteousness. May he find us faithful. May he find us joyful. And may we have exceedingly great joy waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ, who comes to judge in righteousness. Because, brothers and sisters, as believers, we are not going to be judged by his wrath and his strict righteousness. But we will be judged as those who are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our greatest joy. Amen.